Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I got a nice little late birthday present yesterday. Very wonderful new coffee mug, as well as a nice bag of coffee. It's got a nice scripture verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. So it's got a good size to it. It's got a good weight to it. I like the black, of course. So well done. Thank you. All right. I don't want to embarrass the person who gave it to me by saying their name, but they're with us this morning. They're one of our usual crew for the Psalms in the morning. So very thankful. We are in Psalm 12 this morning, and we are going to be challenged, encouraged. Good things that Psalm 12 brings to us. Of course, God's Word always brings that to us, right? But our plan this week, as you saw on the opening slide, we'll be doing 12, 13, and 14. So we got three in a row this week. So you kind of can anticipate where we're going to be. So let's pray, and then we'll read Psalm 12 together. Heavenly Father, thank you for a new day. Thank you for the rain that waters the earth and brings forth life. Thank you for spring, when new life bursts forth. Thank you for the beautiful purple flowers that are populating our lawn. And thank you for the wonderful beauty that you've woven throughout creation. You are a God who delights in life, in order, in beauty. And these are things that we can see evidently in your creation if we have eyes to see by faith. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for your word, which is perfect, as Psalm 12 will tell us this morning. It's as pure as silver refined in a furnace seven times. It's absolutely pure and perfect is your word. And so we pray that you would write your word on our hearts this morning and challenge us by it and encourage us by it. And Father, may we grow to be more like Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 12 is a Psalm of David. It's written to the choir master, and it is according to the Sheminith, which is probably the musical tune that it was set to. Although, whenever you see something and the Hebrew is left untranslated, it's because the translators aren't really sure what it means. But it's probably the name of the tune that it would have been set to. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone. For the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. What a good word from God's word. It's a very urgent plea from David. We often see this with David, this urgency with which he pleads before God, save us, O Lord. This is the cry, actually, that the crowd was shouting as Jesus came into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. The people were praying, save now. They were saying, Hosanna, save now. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone. You ever feel like just where is the voice of godliness within our generation? Where is the true faithfulness to God's word, not those who claim faithfulness to God's word, not those who loudly boast about how they are standing for what is right, and they're really, you know, telling people largely what they want to hear already, but the real godliness that stands for the truth no matter what. We live in a pretty dark generation, but Psalm 12 reminds us this is not any new information. This is not brand new news. You know, the world has been fallen, you know, since the garden. And so the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. This David cried this in 1000 BC, a couple hundred years later. Elijah the prophet would say, "Oh Lord, you know, no one follows you. I alone am left as your true prophet." And you know, the Lord would have to tell him, "Nah, I've got thousands of people who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one," right? But it sometimes feels like we're the only one. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. We have a culture now that thrives on misinformation and disinformation, and that spreads it like gangrene, and it comes from all sides, and it goes viral, and it's lies, right? And sometimes it's lies designed to tell us what we want to hear, to sort of confirm us in our own self-righteousness. Sometimes it's lies designed to support a larger agenda within the culture. Sometimes, you know, there was a group of people that just enjoy spreading lies just to see how many people will believe it. There's people who literally make up stuff out of thin air and spread it through sort of the back channels of the internet to see if it catches fire and will spread through social media. And so often it does. Still have people spreading, you know, that the earth is flat, to give you an example, right? And they'll come up with all these convoluted flat earthers. That's like a real thing. And, you know, I'm not going to go into specific examples, but just know that if you see something on the internet, it very well could be a lie. And, you know, it's rampant. It's rampant. And part of it's because, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we kind of like being lied to, especially if it makes us feel good about ourselves. It's called flattery, right? And that is exactly the word that twice we are warned against in Psalm 12. Flattering lips, verse 2. Flattering lips, verse 3. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and hopeful, we're told by the evangelist, beware the flatterer. But the flatterer came to them and sounded so much like a genuine Christian brother, sounded so much like someone who really was with the Lord and for the Lord, that his flattering lips were able to lead them into a trap, into a snare. He did not have the kingdom of God in mind. He did not have their good in mind. He was out to use them and trap them and ensnare them. And it was only after they were trapped in the snare that they realized how guilty they were for listening to the flatterer, when they had been explicitly warned to beware of the flatterer. And they felt so terrible. And then a shining one, an angel, comes and releases them from the snare, but also gives them a good spanking, like disciplines them. There's a consequence. There is a consequence to believing flattering lies. It affects us. It affects those around us. It sets us on a path that is not the truth. And so we need to be very, very concerned for the truth. God's people of all people should be most committed to the truth in love, no matter the cost. You know, it's been said one person with God is a majority. And we would all say yes and amen to that. But then, you know, we don't really believe that, because we want to know sort of which group we can belong to and which pack we can run with. And maybe the answer is there isn't one, but God's kingdom and God's agenda, which is truth. God's word is true. Listen to what God says in verses 5 and 6. "Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord." I will place him in the safety for which he longs. God has a special heart for the poor, especially when the poor are being plundered or oppressed or are being victimized or are being used and manipulated. God has a special heart for the poor, and that's when he says he will arise and come to deliver. He delivered his people when they were in bondage in Egypt. Through the Exodus, he delivered his people in the time of the judges when the Midianites were oppressing them, and he raised up Gideon and his band, which God used to drive the Midianites out. Over and over again, we see this. God will sometimes bring his people low in judgment, but then when they are poor, when they have nowhere else to go, God comes. We need to see ourselves as the poor. We are spiritually poor. We have nothing we can give God. Everything comes to us by God's grace. Sometimes our material wealth makes us more spiritually impoverished. And so we need to cry out to God and groan to him. And then we have this wonderful verse, great verse to memorize, Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. How pure is the word of God? It is absolutely pure and perfect and steadfast and reliable. Not just the parts we want to hear, and then we ignore the parts we don't want to hear. And everyone by human nature is guilty of having a tendency toward that. This part of the Bible makes me feel good about myself. This part of the Bible reassures me of God's love for me. This part of the Bible reinforces what I already believe, so I'm going to cling to that. This part of the Bible makes me uncomfortable. This part of the Bible challenges some part of my ideology or my lifestyle. And so I'm going to just sort of, you know, explain that away by context and why, how come it doesn't mean what I think it means and blah, 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 right? No, God's word is completely pure, beginning to end. And we can trust it. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. He is the Word of God in a person. And so the purity of God's words is a reflection of the purity of Jesus Christ, the sinless one. How sinless was Jesus? Jesus was as sinless as the Word of God is pure. See that connection? The Word of God is so pure, and Jesus was so completely sinless. But not only are the words of God pure, but God will keep them. God will keep his words. That's what the them refers to. The words of the Lord are pure words. You, O Lord, will keep them. Not a single promise of God falls to the ground unkept. Ever. Now, we may not see it that way. We may not see, but it's true. Not a single promise of God falls to the ground unkept, unfulfilled. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, as many as are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ. As many as are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ. And that is why it is through him that we say the amen to the Lord. It's a wonderful picture of this. God keeps, God guards. And yet we live in the reality. It's interesting, you know, sometimes David will begin with save, O Lord, and sort of the desperation, and then he'll end with the positive note. And so we almost want Psalm 12 to end with verse 7. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. Amen. But that's not where God ends Psalm 12. It comes back to the reality that even though God's words are true, and even though he will keep them, still on every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. Boy, isn't that true? You need to take that to heart and understand how true that is. But the glorious truth is that our God is pure and holy. And his word is pure and holy and unfailing. And that ultimately is our hope. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. By the way, some of us have been praying for our friend named Jeff, who is in the hospital dealing with COVID and COVID-caused pneumonia. He good news report yesterday. He was actually moved out of the ICU and back to a regular room, which is amazing because they were thinking they would have to intubate him. But a group of us gathered together for prayer on Saturday afternoon for 2 hours. We prayed, we sought the Lord, we read his word, we sang praises to him, we poured out our hearts before him, and God has heard us. Now, Jeff still has a long way to go, so we're going to still keep praying for him and for his family. But praise the Lord for the great report yesterday that he's out of the ICU, and we will keep praying. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are faithful and good. You are unfailing in your strength, in your power, in your love, in your promises. You will keep all of your words. You will. You won't fail. Politicians fail. Celebrities fail. Innovators and entrepreneurs fail. Charitable leaders fail. Church leaders fail. Pastors fail. But you are the unfailing one. Absolutely faithful and true. And we cling to that, O Lord. We cling to that. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, would you keep us from the flattering lips of this generation? Keep us from the wicked who prowl on every side as vileness is exalted among the children of man. Your people should have nothing to do with vileness. We should walk away from it and say it's not worth it. Whatever they're promising me, I'm not going to join in with such vileness. Let us be faithful to you and you alone, O God. For you are our King. We do continue to pray for our dear brother Jeff. We pray that you would continue to heal and strengthen him. Continue to restore him. Be gracious to him and to his family. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and for your love. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, I hope you can join us again on Wednesday morning for Psalm 13. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Okay.